Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's I Can't Be Satisfied by Muddy Waters, born on this day in 1913. I think that's a pretty good Marc Gasol song.
It's funny. I knew he was emotional and tortured and demanding of that. I was even then struck in the documentary by exactly how, what a pain in the ass he was to everyone. Did you have, I guess we had a sense of that?
Yeah. I mean, a growing sense. Certainly over time. Certainly, you know, I knew that of the four, he was the most difficult, you know, for coaches, for Lionel in particular. I mean, and for Fizdale, but that's a different story.
Right.
And he was very exacting. That's certainly true. The thing in the documentary about him, like, you know, getting mad in the locker room after they win the game at Brooklyn, that's a story I didn't know. But just the general thing about him and just sort of that insistence on trying to do every little thing the right way. And I think it worked against him some, you know.
How?
I think he could have been a better player if he were – and part of this is the era he came up a little bit. I think it took him too long to embrace the three-point shot. And I think it took him too long to embrace being a primary scorer. And I think if you look at the way Nikola Jokic plays now, Nikola Jokic is an all-time player. I'm not saying Gasol would have been that. But he was sort of like an early rung on the ladder of what Jokic became. And if he had been more willing earlier on to be more aggressive with his own offense, a three-time All-Star could have been even better, I think. And that's partly him, that's partly the era.
You wonder how much of that's era, and it's also the presence of Zebo, that Zebo was supplying that role.
Right. But the idea of being the hub of the offense goes through this player, I think Gasol could have been even more of that than he was.
I've got this Marc Gasol Memphis-made album that they're handing out to the first let me just see here. Make sure I have this correct. They're handing it to the first 5,000, a commemorative vinyl record, and on it, have you seen it?
I got a copy of it a couple days ago. Okay. I have not listened to it.
Listened to the Zebo one?
Yeah, I listened to it once. It's not like, you know, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. You're gonna pop it out and, like, you know, while you're doing dishes or whatever, listen to the Zebo record. But I played it once and then I put it on the shelf. I'm glad to have it.
I have it on my shelf. I confess I haven't cracked it. It's so track one on this album is Gasol career high 8 blocks. What's the one highlight? What's the San Antonio? Like, what's the single most iconic Mark moment?
This is the thing. I've been asked this a lot. I did the Grizz beat show for the Grizzlies yesterday, and I, you know, obviously I set for the documentary like you did.
Right.
And my cutting room floor thing from the documentary, like something he asked me that I said that he didn't use, because he kept asking me about, like, well, you know, what do you think of Marc Gasol? What are the big moments?
Right.
And my answer to him then, and the same thing I said on the Grizz Beat show yesterday, is that Mark is different for me from, like, Zach or Tony. Tony, you think of All Heart, Great Grind, soliloquy, and Zach, you think of him taking apart the Spurs in game 6. You think of the, you know, blue collar player, you think of moments.
Right.
I don't think of, like, you know, I can say, like, you know, he hit the game winner in overtime against, that is not what I think about with Marc Gasol. I think about, in terms of moments, I think about recurring moments, the repetitive over and over again moments. I think of the stylistic tics that he had, you know, the kissing the ball, the crossing yourself, the patting yourself on the butt, the way he would throw certain kinds of passes. Just, I think of the style and the expressiveness with which he played game after game, day after day, more than I think about, well, that great moment or that great play or that kind of stuff, you know?
I think that makes sense. For Tony... Tony was such a series.
Tony, you know, there's slapping the floor, and there's first team all NBA.
There's wandering through
wandering
the, dance
through the
team.
Kids. There's all kinds of that kind of stuff.
There's was it the was he my the Golden State game when he was on the ground and
yeah, I think that was maybe the, game two that year.
That was
year.
Game two when they beat
Mike Conley's
that's
return
Mike
game.
Conley broken face game.
Yeah,
and with Mike, it's that game.
Definitely
with Mike, it's just that game.
Yeah,
Yeah.
No, whenever they do the Mike Conley movie, and the Tony Allen one I think is done, like in a vault somewhere, because I set for an interview for that one like 4 years ago. whenever they do the Mike, and who knows, maybe he'll play till he's 45. We may be waiting a long time. Yeah. They're going to do 30 minutes just on that game, you know, and that stretch that of the broken face stretch. And all of that, you know.
So do you think we're going to get Tony, obviously, his troubles next year?
I have no inside information on that. At all, but I assume it is a purely assumption.
Yes,
well, but it's a strong assumption. Yeah. To me, I'm not even questioning it. I just assume that's happening next season.
Yeah, you know? That'll be next year.
Yeah,
and it is interesting the order. Like the order has been fashioned more by the.
Yeah, Tony was going to be second.
Tony was going to be second.
Sidelined.
But in a way,
it makes
you know
sense. It works.
The way that they're doing it works. Yeah. You know, Zeebo at his zenith was, you know. Was everything, you know, whatever. And then you have Mark, who was really, these are the two greatest players, right?
Yep. Until John Morant gets there and he's on that trajectory. But for now, it's Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol.
Yeah. And then you've got the Clown Prince, who's also a hellacious defensive player.
Right.
And then Mike was still playing. We'll wrap it up. Classy, quiet Mike, you know? And so there you go. Well, I look forward to the event. Grizzlies win last night.
Yeah.
And Jaren looks spectacular again. But I still think the best news is Brandon Clark.
Yeah. No, it's those two, definitely. And Gigi had a good game, but it's really those two. And Jaren, man, Jaren started that game by lowering his shoulder and going right through Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right.
And he finished the game by like hitting a fadeaway three with two people on him. But in the middle of the game, the third quarter, he devoured Brook Lopez. He ate Brook Lopez for dinner last night. And it was kind of interesting to watch when you think about, you know, this positionality stuff and how you're going to use them and who's the center and all this. That was a taste of, like, Jaren now with his handle.
Right.
You put a big lug, try to guard him.
Right.
Good luck. You know?
And Donovan Clingan would get in his way.
Well, there's that. But, you know, you got 48 minutes to play in a basketball game.
I understand
game,
that. But, yes, know? But it's there's other ways to win. He was terrific. And... I mean, I don't know. The Brandon Clark thing.
He looks right. He looks like nothing happened.
Looks like nothing happened.
Yep.
And in terms of, like, good things that have happened this year, I don't know how you want to rank Vince Williams, Gigi, now this.
Right.
But those are – and then I guess the expansion of Desmond Bane and Jaren's games.
Yeah, I mean, the Gigi thing I think is a big deal in a big – very big deal, maybe a bigger deal in a big picture sense of like, oh, you got this guy coming up who, like, you know, there's all-star upside with this guy. There's not all-star upside with Vince Williams or Brandon Clark.
Right.
But in terms of next season and trying to win next season, I think the Clark – to pencil in the 20 minutes of good Brandon Clark every night pretty much, and then I've seen enough to pencil in, like, 25 to 30 maybe of, like, 3-and-D, like, Vince Williams winning play guy on the wing, I think it really says a lot. I mean, that could be your closing lineup next season. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Marcus Smart is Marcus Smart, but when I think of this team, if you give me this team and you start a new season and I'm down the stretch, I think I'm playing John Morant, Desmond Bane, Vince Williams, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson. I think that's how I'm closing games, you know?
We were talking earlier, continuing the discussion that we had yesterday, about expectations for this group over the next 5 years, expectations versus goals versus, like, whatever, like, what's reasonable. And in response to that, one of our listeners, Bobby, said two things. One is that he thinks, so far I think it's fair to say this Grizz team has underachieved. Some of that is no fault of their own injuries. Some of it's very much their own fault, all the off-court drama. Next year is the most important year for this group, he says. So yeah. I push back on all of that. I don't think during the regular season they have not underachieved, and it's hard to even identify a playoff series that they necessarily should have won. Right,
they arrived so quickly that they underachieved their seeding. This is true. They underachieved their seeding in the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's just a fact. It is my opinion that that is more a commentary on regular season overachievement than postseason underachievement when you consider the age of the roster of those two seasons. That's my opinion. Just because
it's also true though that
you're not supposed to win 56 games when you're the youngest team in the league or whatever, which is what they did 2 years ago. You know,
but then it's also true that a lot of those regular season wins were accumulated with players who were not then available in the playoffs. Like,
year in particular.
Yes, last year. Although it's interesting, Jeffrey says
because of Brandon Clark and Steven Adams.
You're playing the Lakers without Brandon, and then the previous year you lost Ja.
Well, I think
Dylan, who'd you lose? You lost Ja the previous year.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're probably going to lose that series anyway. But the other thing is who they lost to in the playoffs. They lost to lower seeds, but they lost to a Warriors team that had already won a title and was on their way to another one. A Lakers team whose core had already won a title and ended up going to the conference finals. I mean, I remember being in some conference room in a hotel in Los Angeles. We got some time with Taylor Jenkins, like in LA, and it was me and Drew and DeMichael Cole. And one of the questions I asked him was like, you know, what's it feel like to look up? You got this young team, you're this two seed or whatever, and you look up and you're playing Steph Curry in one playoff series. Next year you're playing LeBron James, you know. But there are teams that are going to face that this year. That's the funny thing. You look at the West, you know, Oklahoma City and Minnesota are going to be top three seeds. They haven't done it. They got young teams. They're going to look up in a playoff series and look across the court as the higher seed, and they're going to see LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or Luka Doncic, and it'll be like, oh, that team's got the better player. You know, that's going to happen.
I the second part of his is that next year. Now, of course, every year is the most important until it falls apart.
I think the next two years are very important. Yes,
I guess Jeffrey raised this question: to the extent that anything will someday, let's say that they have a disappointing year next year. Like, does the Jaren stuff already, because then it's only 1 year left on his deal.
It's possible. I think you have to get a sense going into the last season of his contract, which is not next year, but the year after. You have to have a sense going into that year whether you think you're going to be able to re-sign him. The thing with Jaren is, more than likely, if he qualifies for I got to go back and look and see how this works, but I think if he qualifies for a Supermax, which he is not to this point, if he's qualified for a Supermax, you may be able to just go ahead and sign that extension. But but short of that, you're not going to be able to extend him off his current contract because it's too low.
Right.
Unless you're capped at a certain percentage raise, and his contract is going to be so low, you're just not going to be able to do that. So unless he's Supermax eligible, I think Jaren's going to go into free agency, period. Well, just because you go into free agency doesn't mean you leave. You have a sense as a team. In fact, you may even have an agreement in place with him. You can't sign until he technically becomes a free agent. But I think you have to have a sense of what you think is going to happen. And then you have to weigh that against the value of the season you're entering, right? So if you're comfortable, we're going to re-sign Jaren, none of this matters.
Right.
If you have doubts about re-signing Jaren, that doesn't necessarily mean you trade Jaren. It means We go all in for the season and deal with it this summer.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing.
And by then, Gigi is going to be a star.
The big.
Right.
You know?
The other news yesterday was that Ja Morant is and his agent is parting ways.
There's no public reporting of a new agent. My understanding is there's some time lag between, for whatever legalistic reasons, between when you can leave one and sign with another. And so I assume he already knows who his next agent is going to be, and we'll just wait to find out.
Should we read anything? Do we care? Do we read anything into this?
I'm wary of anyone declaring what this does or doesn't mean. So I don't want to sit here and pound the table and say this doesn't mean blank and sort of go against my own, you know, what I'm saying. I'm highly skeptical this has any relevance to the Memphis Grizzlies in the short term. It has relevance to Ja Morant, obviously, but I highly doubt. He's in the first year of a 5-year contract. you know, if a player changes agents on the eve of their free agency, that could tell you something. I seriously doubt, again, I don't know, but I doubt this has any particular meaning to the Grizzlies.
Vince Carter is in the Hall of Fame. He was one. And then Jerry West goes in. I didn't realize that you go in again. He's already in, obviously, as a player. Now he's going in as a contributor.
Yeah. Memphis Music Hall of Fame does this. It's like Booker T. Jones is going into the Hall of Fame. Like, isn't he already there? But you separate
fan versus
individual.
I think it's got to be the Cesare Trebanski move that probably put him over the top.
Yeah. And that or the Troy Bell pick in the lottery.
That or the Troy Bell pick at 16, 14, 13, wherever it was.
Yeah, 13.
Didn't they trade down?
It was 13. Yeah. It was a trade. They traded
two picks.
They traded up and down at the same time. They had picks, I'm going to make up numbers, they had like pick 16 and 24 or whatever, and they traded for pick like 13 and 28.
Yeah, exactly.
And
then
this was this accordion thing.
They got Dante Jones
at the later pick, and Troy Bell, who was a true bust.
And I think Kendrick Perkins was picked with one of the picks that they dealt.
That they moved. But in fairness, yeah, neither one of these people
wanted that. Go ahead.
Yes. Hubie was a fan of the Troy Bell, Dante Jones. He thought they
experienced college players.
He thought they fit his system, which they probably did, but if you're not good enough, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Vince Carter and Jerry West, even Jerry West post-player, they're not going in the Hall of Fame for what they did with the Memphis Grizzlies. But right. I will say with Jerry West, it's more a part of the story of Jerry West than with Vince Carter because – you know, Jerry West went on to do other stuff with teams after he left the Grizzlies, but it was more of a consultant kind of thing. He was not in charge of an organization after that. And so the last real, like, stroke of genius Jerry West move was hiring Hubie Brown because no one saw that coming. I don't think anyone else would have done it. And that was, like, a bold Jerry West move, and Hubie Brown wins Coach of the Year. So, that is the thing on his executive resume.
He was executive of the year that year, Jerry was.
So, yeah, that it's more a part of the Jerry – it's sort of a cherry on top, but it's more a part of the Jerry West resume than the Vince Carter resume.
Do you know how many teams Vince Carter played for? It's incredible.
Toronto, New Jersey, Dallas, Memphis, and I'm sure I'm forgetting four others.
Yeah, it's eight.
Okay, I am forgetting four others.
I do not have it in front of me.
Did he play for Orlando, or was he just from Orlando? I can't even remember.
You don't know. Do you know who Malachi Flynn plays for?
I didn't until this morning. I mean, I know who Malachi Flynn is, and I know that he got traded. I mean, I know a lot about the NBA. I know who Malachi Flynn is. That puts me in the top 99.9 percentile.
You knew he was a first round pick once upon a time.
Well, I knew he got traded this season from Toronto to New York. I missed, however, he moved from New York to Detroit after that. So I thought he still played for the Knicks.
So he did play for Vince. Did play for Orlando.
All right.
So the four.
So I got five of them.
So who have we mentioned?
I mentioned Orlando, Dallas, New Jersey, Memphis, and Toronto.
Okay. I have no recollection of this one. I don't remember this. Played for the Suns.
Okay. Yeah.
I did remember this when I read it. Remember, he also played for the Kings. Remember when the Kings were just taking all the old Grizzlies?
I don't remember that.
So 17, 18, and then he finished with the Hawks.
I don't remember. I do not remember the Hawks or the Kings. I do remember the Suns. I don't remember the Hawks or the Kings.
But as for Malachi Flynn. He was traded as part of the
isn't that Emmanuel Quickly?
That deal. He went from Toronto. Toronto had drafted him.
The OG Anunoby deal. Yeah.
The OG Anunoby. Toronto had drafted him like 28 or 29 or something like that. And
he was a throw-in in that trade with the Knicks, and then somehow he ended up in Detroit. I don't know.
Well, didn't the Knicks pick up
Maybe he was in that Bojan Bogdanovic deal.
Exactly. He was in the Bojan. That's exactly right.
Okay.
And he comes off the bench and scores 50.
50. Good for him.
Do you know who the previous bench players to score 50?
I have vague memories. It's a Celtic. Did Todd Day do that?
No.
Maybe he didn't come off the bench.
Not only that, it's not even a Celtic.
Okay.
Nick Anderson scored 50.
Okay.
And Jamal Crawford scored 51.
Okay.
And those are the only other bench players who accomplished that task. And then we got the news. Jeffrey told us this as this segment began, that Julius Randle is done for the year with knee surgery.
Todd Day's career high was 41. I was wrong about that. The Knicks having lots of injury issues because OG Anunoby also. The aforementioned OG Anunoby.
Well, that's the point. I mean, I guess, you know, right? I mean, we talk about this all the time. It's you put together the team that you think can do some damage, and then you hope they're healthy.
Tony Delk did have a 53-point game, but I guess that was not.
But he wasn't as a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, well, what was the ceiling of these Knicks? We don't really have much of a sense of it. But
yeah, in the East, it seems like it seems like just about anybody could show up in the conference finals against Boston or whatever. I mean, you know, Milwaukee, as we saw last night, they were missing guys. But,
right.
You know, that's not like some unbeatable juggernaut, you know.
Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.